In this gospel today, we are presented with these situations where very often we're tempted to kind of overthink things, to tell you the truth, where something happens and we try to provide an explanation for it. You know, oh, this bad thing happened, these people must have done this or that or the other. We're always trying to overthink things. And Jesus is saying, nope, that's not the reason. But in any case, you better repent, you know, or something worse will might happen to you. But and this is something for us. It's the real one of the greatest challenges of our spiritual lives is to let God be God. You know, a lot of us, I think, would like to take on that role for ourselves. But that job is already taken, right? God is God. And we need to let God be God and realize that we are entering into mystery. Maybe one of the most profound treatments of this in Scripture, similar to these two examples at the beginning of the gospel, is the book of Job. You know, where Job is this man who's been blessed in many, many ways, and then everything, just disaster strikes in every single possible way, just about. And Job has his consolers come along. Job's comforters come along. They're not very comforting, to tell you the truth. And they keep saying, well, Job, you must have done something wrong. And Job would not say that. And interestingly, when he gets to the end, God speaks about those consolers who thought they were defending God. Said, you know, you all have not spoken well of me as my servant Job, the one who asked the questions but wouldn't settle for the unsatisfactory answers. And God essentially gives Job the answer that is, well, and in a very beautiful, poetic way. I encourage you to read the book of Job. It's a long book. The end of it, though, God asks all these questions mainly about creation. Where were you when all these other things happened? And basically what God says, though, just to cut to the chase is, well, basically, Job, I'm God and you're not. And Job accepts that answer. Okay. I accept that. In the first reading, we have this encounter of Moses with God in the burning bush. And this is where God is calling Moses to go and be God's instrument to set his people free from slavery in Egypt. And the interesting thing is, Moses doesn't much want to do it. And one of the things he keeps doing is coming up with excuses and reasons why it's not a good idea for him to do it. One of the first ones he comes up with, oh, well, you know, God, I'm not a very good speaker. Well, God says, well, that's okay. Your brother Aaron, he's a good speaker. Take him with you. He can do the talking and that sort of thing. But he keeps on coming up with all these excuses. Well, we get in the first reading today, we get about the last one. This is his last ditch effort. And he says, okay, well, when I'm supposed to go to the Israelites and go to the Egyptians and tell them all this stuff, you know, they're going to ask me, well, who's saying this? You know, and what's your name? I don't know your name, God, to tell them who is saying this. And God reveals his name to Moses. And it's a mysterious name. In the first place, we don't really know exactly what it is. It's in the Hebrew text of the Bible, it's these four Hebrew letters that the Jewish people never pronounced, actually, because the name of God was thought to be too holy ever to speak. And so even when it was written in the text of the Old Testament, the vowel, those four letters are all consonants. The vowels in Hebrew are mainly the little points around the letters, and they never wrote it with the vowels. So it's kind of hard to pronounce a word without vowels. You know, it's kind of like in, what is that game show or whatever? I'd like to buy a vowel, please. You know, and so because, and so we don't exactly know what it is, but it is a form of the verb to be in Hebrew. The way that, and this is one of the things where a translator's job gets tricky, because when you're translating from Hebrew into English, you've got to put something down on the page in English. And so what they, in our translation today, it said, God said, tell them, I am who am. And then a little later he says, tell them, I am sent you. The God who is. It's kind of a strange name, isn't it? But it's very profound. It's kind of philosophical on one level, actually. And what God is really saying there is that I am in a way that nothing else, including you, is. St. Catherine of Siena, I believe, in some of her writing, she had these beautiful dialogues, these mystical experiences with God the Father. And she, I think it was St. Catherine, would refer, she said, you are he who is, and I am she who is not. Because in comparison to the way that God is, we aren't, okay? Because God is the necessary being. God has to be, or nothing else exists. You know, again, it's one of those very basic, fundamental, philosophical questions. Why does anything exist rather than not exist? Well, the answer to that is because God is. I am not a necessary being. If I didn't exist, the world would be going along just fine, right? I once had a very profound parishioner out at St. Patrick's in McEwen, this little country town, and we have a parish cemetery is right across the street from the rectory, and I was talking to this old man one day, and I was talking about something about how busy I was or something like that, and he said, Father, that cemetery is full of indispensable people. You're supposed to laugh, but anyhow, well, maybe you shouldn't, because that's so true. I am not a necessary being, and neither are you, but God is, the one who is. Well, and that tells us something, that when we approach God, or when we approach reality, when we have questions about things, then we need to take as our starting point the reality of God. That is the Catholic philosophical starting point. It was the starting point of everybody until about 400 years ago. It just makes sense. That's what philosophy is. It's basically your starting point for things. And it's very important to get your philosophy right. Whether you have a, you know, kind of formalized sense of philosophy, it's important to know what you're starting with. Well, if you want to start with reality, you start with God. And you refer everything to God. That's precisely what Job did. And when Job got that answer, well, because I'm God, he said, okay. And so we, but about 400 years ago, there was this French philosopher named René Descartes who came up with this saying, I think, therefore I am. Well, there are a lot of problems with that. I'm not going to start into all of that, but it leads to some pretty nonsensical conclusions that we're getting to about 400 years after he first said that. I think, therefore I am. I mean, I won't go into all of that, but it means my perception of things is the basis of reality. And that's a very faulty starting point. It leads to some kind of crazy conclusions. It's not letting God be God. and it's not allowing for the possibility of mystery. It's not allowing for the possibility that our rational intellects, wonderful as they are incapable of comprehending everything, because they're not. We are limited. God is infinite. And so it's not that dealing with God is irrational, it just goes beyond what our reason can take in and our perceptions can take in. So a lot of times we just have to trust him. But that's not God just saying to us, well, because I say so, you know, that's the least satisfactory answer, parents, right? Okay, because I say so, although very tempting often, but it's because God revealed himself more fully beyond what Moses knew in the burning bush. That was mystery, that was for sure. Or beyond what Job experienced. Think about our beautiful psalm that we just heard. The Lord is what? Kind and merciful. God isn't some sort of abstract being, you know? He is being. But not just an abstract, that's the God of the philosophers, actually. That's the God of Aristotle or something like that, this sort of abstraction. But God reveals himself as kind and merciful, ultimately revealing himself in Jesus Christ, who has a name, that we are told to say, although we're supposed to bend our knees when we hear it, you know, St. Paul tells us, the angel told Joseph to name this child what? Jesus. And what does Jesus mean? God saves. So we get a further answer than Job got. And it's this answer right here. I am God and I save you. I am kind and merciful. If you can't trust that, what can you trust? And so I just put it to you, if you ever have some of these troubling questions, this engagement with mystery that we run into, a lot of us have spent a lot of the last couple of years engaging in mystery somewhat, you know, kind of forced to. Don't be upset if you can't figure it all out. As a matter of fact, maybe thank God that you can't, but let him be God. Let him save you. Let him show you his kindness and his mercy. And that comes only in trust and surrender.